Hallelujah. Put the mic a little closer to my mouth this go around. Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Shabbat shalom.
Isn't the Father good to us?
Hallelujah.
He's always so good, so good. The word has been absolutely phenomenal as always. And I'm excited to share what we have tonight. Because we've been looking at trustworthiness. That could be a huge topic throughout Scripture. So we know a lot's going on right now in our Torah portion. But we know last Shabbat, we were given a little glimpse of Cancun whenever dealing with trustworthiness. And then, of course, it led us to Genesis chapter 1, and we looked at the awesomeness of how it's connected with the word so, and the firmament, foundation, firm, concrete. And don't you know that's what the Father wants from us? To be able to know that we can stand on a firm foundation. And as we remember, as we also learn, roots down, stalks up. Because the Ruach's the one that truly is the tester that allows us to grow. Just like we see in nature. As mentioned about the Southern Oaks, withstanding 140 miles per hour winds. Life can literally get to that point where you're going to be tested to see how much root you got in the ground. And another thing that we were looking at is trustworthiness can't be self-proclaimed. And that's ultimately what we kind of zoomed in on in Genesis 42, verse 11. But we're going to start off with a Psalms tonight. So I could tell y'all, this week leading up to service was interesting. I allowed myself to be tested. I asked the Father continuously for His guidance and complete lead. And whenever it comes to putting together the service. Because I want to make sure that, just like everyone else that's in this journey, we hear those wonderful words, "Well done, my good and trustworthy servant." And the beautiful thing about looking at trustworthy, it's vast. But we have to be willing to expound on the different types of Hebrew and Greek that all tie into this trustworthiness. Well, let's go to Psalms 101. So we're going to talk a little bit about something that ties into trustworthiness, that's integrity. He wants us to walk with integrity. He wants us to be able to be firm. Because we know that Yosef, the example that we're being given, he's showing some firmness. He's showing steadfastness. He's showing himself approved to the Aleph and the Tav. But Psalms 101, it says, "I sing of loving commitment and right ruling to you, O Yehovah. I sing praises. I act wisely in a perfect way. When do you come to me? I walk in the midst of my house with a perfect heart. I set no matter of Belial before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away." And what I thought was interesting about that is closely making sure that we realize it's the work that we hate whenever it comes to those falling away. Because we look at the state of the brothers, that's ultimately where they ended up. In a fallen away position because they were too focused on obtaining authority on their own instead of receiving the authority from the Aleph and the Tav. Which I just want to say real quick, I'm absolutely thankful that that was brought up to us, that we were taught that, to look at that. Every time HA3 is connected to something, that stamp of approval, seeing that the Father is actively there in that scenario and in that situation. And it's so important as students to look for it continually. But it says, "I hate the work of those who fall away. It does not cleave to me. A perverse heart turns away from me. I do not know evil. Him who secretly slanders his neighbor, I cut off. I do not tolerate one who has a haughty look and a proud heart. My eyes are on the trustworthy." Now this trustworthy is Amen. Amen. "Of the land to dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he serves me. He who practices deceit does not dwell in my house. He who speaks lies does not stand in my presence. Each morning I uproot all the wrong of the land to cut off all the workers of wickedness from the city of Jehovah. Now, what's incredible is we could see how this parallels and gives us a vision of what's currently taking place. As they stand before Yosef, they stand before the one that they put all the turmoil before and didn't recognize him, but he recognized them through the Olive and the Tav, through the relationship status with the Father, through his trustworthiness, through having integrity and being able to be trusted to do what it is that the Father called him to do. Now, I've been practicing the Blue Letter Bible a lot more, getting the hang of it, and realizing that it's an absolutely wonderful tool, especially when it comes to the lexiconic, and whenever it helps you realize all the tie-ins and connections. Because that amen, that trustworthy that we just looked at, it deals with faithfulness. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about firmness, faithfulness, and then also I wanted to just speak out and say the other ones that are related, that we're going to hear some of these other ones that are related tonight, is we're going to hear Emun, Emunah, we heard Amen, and there's Amin, Emet, and its Greek relation is Pistos, which is faithfulness. And I'll give the Strongs whenever we get to those. But I wanted to put that out there so that way whenever we see the different trustworthiness that are coming forth, that they're all ultimately connected together whenever it comes to the same principle. Well, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 12 through 20. Now, I was thankful for this reminder for Bible study Wednesday night, because Brother Chad said that he has counted us trustworthy. And then my wife leaned over to me and tapped the table and said, remember this? So whenever we first were stepping up and stepping out, that was the very first scripture that Pastor told us to get familiar with, that verse 12. It's literally on the cover of this iPad. Because he does count us trustworthy if we walk in him. But this says, and I thank Messiah Yeshua, our master, who empowered me because he counted me trustworthy. Pistos, faithful, putting me into service. Me, although I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insulter, but compassion was shown me, because being ignorant, I did it in unbelief. And the favor of our master was exceedingly increased with belief and love which are in Messiah Yeshua. Trustworthy is the word, and worthy of all acceptance, that Messiah Yeshua came into the world to save sinners, of who I am foremost. I thought when Shaul said that, that was so unique. Because this is further along in his walk, in his ministry. And he's just openly admitting his condition. That we all fall short of the glory. And the beautiful thing is, we're looking at this incredible example of the one that's being firm, steadfast, trustworthy, showing integrity, so that way he can be that light shining to his brothers that's still stuck in darkness. And isn't that one of the hardest tests sometimes, that the very ones that you are closest to, that you love the most, that you want to see in the light, whether they once were or never been yet, that is, it's the biggest challenge because of how much love we have towards those in our lives. The Father is counting us trustworthy to be able to be that light to them, to make sure that we're firmly rooted and stalks are up. Verse 16, but because of this, I receive compassion so that in me first, Yeshua Messiah might display all patience as an example to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the sovereign of the ages, incorruptible, invisible, to Elohim, who alone is wise, be respect and esteem forever and ever. Amen. This charge I entrust to you, son, Timotheos, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you might wage the good campaign. Bless you. Having belief and good conscience, which some have thrust aside and suffered shipwreck concerning their belief. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan in order to be taught not to blaspheme. And that's something that when I was reading it, it made me realize and meditate upon the fact that there's genuine hope in the moments when there's some type of departure, that whenever the tester comes and the testing continues, that there will be a form of falling upon our face, their face, whenever it comes to realizing and understanding that the Father wants them to be able to be uplifted. Anytime that we feel any kind of opposition, we have to be mindful of that so that way we can be steadfast in what the Father wants for us. But in regards to this trustworthiness, let's refamiliarize with the text. Genesis 42, we're going to read verses 11 through 20. And then we're going to walk through this. But you know, the Father gives us opportunities throughout the week to really put to the test of what it is that we're looking at. And for me, it was integrity. And that's literally what we're looking at in the sense of trustworthiness. Are you going to be able to firmly be rooted in what it is that you have, that He has for you? And my test came in the workforce this week. And I'm very thankful to say that I passed. And that I want to continue in that. Because there's certainty in whenever you are allowing yourself to be firmly rooted. Because whenever we read, and I believe in our carnal mind, whenever we read, I know at least when I did the first go around, when I read that He harshly spoke to His brothers, I was like trying to understand it with my understanding of harshness. But there's a total difference between our understanding of harshness and the harshness that the Father induces, because outside pressure is what is going to make us be able to dig our roots deeper so the stalks can be stronger. And the interesting thing was, normal routine, just running the garbage route. You get in, you have a system, you have a routine structured that you adhere to. Because whenever you have a routine established, everything becomes a lot easier in functionality. Everything's easier to be able to get accomplished. But there's times where there's people that just want to disrupt that routine for whatever reason. It's not our place to get upset with people that come into our lives and try and disrupt, but instead to be steadfast and firm and be able to show that character of the Father so that way you can be that light to the people that need it. Well, what I thought was interesting was I pull into the yard, I go to drop everything off, do my normal thing, and stuff wasn't done. I said, we'll save it for Monday. Save it for Monday. That's easy for the person that doesn't have to go on a route, that still has a full truck, and so on and so forth. But usually that would kind of get to me to the point where I'm just like, okay, like we need to talk. But no, instead, that's fine. I went ahead, started doing the job. I'd started doing other people's job. I said, there's no point in this constant bickering or back and forth. I said, if y'all don't want to do it, I'll do it. That's no problem. I'm not upset with nobody. It just needs to get done. And everything went smoothly, but then you notice something to take place whenever you're walking integrity and you're just being trustworthy because you can get it out of character You didn't get any kind of way sideways. And aren't we thankful that we have an example like Yosef that didn't get that way whenever the Father needed him to remain steadfast? Mm-hmm. Just like in the same way with Yeshua Messiah. Imagine if he would have came down and just looked upon everybody and said, I don't have to do this, I'm perfect. But instead, we get put in a position to where we get to uphold and maintain a certain level of integrity with people. And I got to share with one of the guys, I said, you realize if we would just show up and do our job, and sometimes we might have to do someone else's job, but don't complain, don't get mad at them, the rest will take care of itself. There's a certain level of conviction and guilt that comes upon people whenever they realize that they're in the wrong. Naturally, because that's the way the Father built us. I think I should have brought a napkin up here with me. I was about to double check and make sure the menorah wasn't lit. I got more than a couple of Mardi Gras beads of sweat coming down my head right now. But we're going to read Genesis 42, 11 through 20. And it says, we are all one man's son. We are trustworthy. Your servants are not spies. But he said to them, no, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land. And they said, your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And see, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more. And Yosef said to them, it is as I spoke to you, saying, you were spies. By this you shall be proven, by the life of Pharaoh. You do not leave this place until your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you, and let him bring your brother while you are kept in prison, so that your words be proven to see whether there is any truth in you, or else, by the life of Pharaoh, you are spies. And he put them all together in prison for 3 days. Now Yosef said to them a third day, do this and live, for I fear Elohim. If you are trustworthy, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison, and you go bring grain for the scarcity of food in your houses, and bring your youngest brother to me, and let your words be confirmed, and you do not die. And so they did. But it's an obvious and plain thing that we could see that the Father used Yosef to put pressure on them, mm-hmm. to get them in a position to where you're going to really find out what's going on inside. And to be honest, when things are not going our way throughout the week, it's more than likely because the Father's allowing pressure to come into our lives so that way we can find out what's going on inside. He wants to know if we have integrity. He wants to know if we can be trustworthy. And it's a wonderful thing whenever we see it take place, because whether you're entering into a season where you're getting out of all the testing, so now you can enter into relaxing and rejoicing, or you're entering into a season of testing so that way you can find out what's going on, either way, it's going to lead to rejoicing in the end because the Father knows what's best for our lives. But there's something unique about everything that's being established, right? I keep saying it over and over because that's the number one thing that rang through my mind throughout the week about roots down, stocks up. And I felt like I was going to just go ahead and open a landscaping company because all I could think about was trees, looking at trees everywhere. But the reality is there's a pattern that's established because the Father always, it's beyond my ability to fully comprehend the level of how he just neatly wovens everything in Scripture together so masterfully. But speaking of the menorah, let's make our way to Exodus 37, verse 17. Because I literally have a tree standing behind me. And that's ultimately what that menorah represents. And so many more wonderful nuances inside to look at. But we're going to look at the menorah in relation to what's taking place right now in the lives of the brothers and Yosef. And the fact that we're going to have moments where we're going to find out what we're made of. But it says in verse 17 of Exodus 37, and he made, and if you're looking at the Strong's, he made has the et, the aleph and the tav. So signifying that this is a divine inspiration by the Father of what he wanted done. But he made the lampstand of clean gold. He made the lampstand of beaten work. Its base and its shaft, its cups, its ornament knobs, and its blossoms were from it. Let's look at this word, beaten work. Because sometimes it genuinely feels like we're going through a beating. But ultimately, it's so that we can have our light shine and properly. But this word is broken down three times. It's mikshah, mikshay, and kashah. But mikshah, H4749, is rounded work that is molded by hammering, beaten out of one piece work, upright, a whole piece. Mikshay, H4748, in the sense of knotting up, round and hard, something turned, rounded, that is a curl, tresses. I think we're kind of getting the picture of what he's trying to show us through this right now. But what's really unique is its primitive root. H7185, kashah, to be dense, that is tough or severe in various applications. It could also mean to be cruel, be fiercer, make grievous, be in, have, seem, would, and hard. So we could see that a hammering's taking place, a conforming, a densing up, a compacting, so that way you become stronger, firmer. Because we just got this beautiful example right here behind us. Because roots down, stalk up. Because whenever we read further in an explanation of the design of the menorah, these are the branches. And what's unique about that is he implemented a firm stalk that is well rooted to help the further generations of the branches that branch off of what it is that he's trying to do. And it's a beautiful example that we have, because ultimately there's that firm stalk that's well rooted that's to come later on. And we're working our way to our master. But the ancient Hebrew is the Kuf and the Shin. And the Kuf is the sun, the horizon gathering light, and a picture of teeth representing pressure. Whenever you combine those two, it's bring together and press. It says, once grain stalks are harvested from the field, it is gathered into bundles and secured with a cord in the middle. But it's to gather stalk. And when I read that, it reminded me of something that when I used to want to join the military, and then it was making me think about my brother that's in the military, about induced pressure, about causing people to bundle together. Naturally, whenever there's a group of people that are introduced into some kind of type of persecution of any sort, whether it's for training or legitimate persecution, war, persecution because of belief, what you stand for, to see if you're well-rooted and your stalk is upright before him. But these outside forces that seem harsh, that seem cruel, that seem firm and steadfast, is to pressure you into seeing what you're made out of, to see if you would bundle with the rest. Because we know that there's a separation of wheat and tares. So the main thing that the Father's been having me look at this week is ultimately that. How firm are we? How enduring are we in the moments of our testing, or when we're being pressed or being brought together? But that is the same exact word that's used in Genesis 42:7, whenever he spoke harshly to his brothers. That same beaten work was the work of the Father through Yosef that was helping them start the process of getting rid of what they've been holding on to for the past 22-something years. of what they've done. But let's keep reading Exodus 37. And what's incredible about this is Thursday, when I was in my closet, crying my eyes out on the floor, because the entire week, I kept laying down, humbling myself. But for some reason, there was something in me that kept feeling like, you're just doing this because. You're just doing this because. And I kept getting reminded of different things that were said throughout the years. I know one thing, for some reason, during a... why am I in the world I was about to call it? The Menorah Festival. The Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah. I don't know where that came from. But so I remember... me and my wife and a few others were standing over there. We had the circle tables placed out. And I can't remember exactly what we were talking about. I think it was something about literally wanting, I need that revelation. I'm praying, and he just, I want it. I'm ready for it. And he's like, I just ain't getting it yet. And Pastor said, well, it's not God on demand. And I was just like, that's so well said. Straight to the point and simple. I was like, and it's true. And then as you go further on, you realize that he's testing you. He's testing you to see what's going on. He's testing you if you're going to keep showing up in the same way that Danielle showed up. He kept coming to the Father over and over and time again. But as I was laying there in the closet Thursday, this time Thursday, he let me feel it. You keep getting up early, you keep pressing forward, you keep praying, you keep going, you keep going, you keep going, you keep going, you keep going. And he'll break you in a graceful way. And I laid there, and I just started snotting, crying my eyes out in the closet. I didn't know Abram was at the house. I'm going to before the Father, and I was just like, please, help me see this clearly. I mean, I can go in there, and I can go here to there to here, but I want to see it the way you want me to see it. I want to understand it the way you want me to understand it. I just want to get it. And I was crying, and because, you know, Midrash, my mind was trying its best to stay focused, but it was also focusing on a stone. I'm not talking about diamonds or Zales, any kind of stone like that. I'm talking about the stone of the kidneys. And but thankfully, I know I didn't pass anything, but it stopped. And I'm going to just keep on drinking that lemon water and pray that it just breaks apart. But, you know, as I'm having those moments with the Father, he reminded me of Athulus, if I'm saying it correctly. Another form of true. And that led me to where I needed to go, which we're making our way there of the words of the Master. But what's beautiful is, as I'm praying about that, and I get that revelation, and now I'm happy snotting, then I hear, Rob? I'm like, oh. Now that sounded very clear and loud. That was not a small, still voice. So I pop my head up. I'm like, get myself situated. I was like, I didn't know if my feet were hanging out the closet or not. I don't have a big closet. And so go walking in there, I was like, hey, man. And they came in there and just gave me a hug. We hugged and we were talking, and y'all pray for that boy. So I'm going to leave it at that. But you know, the Father's good. And then he adds cherries on top. The wife reached out to me. She's like, hey, I found this really interesting in a book I was reading, and it brought up the menorah. And it was about Exodus 37. And I was just like, well, that's pretty neat. Of course, me just still focusing on everything fresh, I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm going to check it out. Lo and behold, I check it out, and it's exactly what I needed to fill in another gap of the puzzle. It's awesome, my brother. It is so good. But, you know, it also speaks about branches, because in verse 18 of Exodus 37, it says, and six branches came out of its side. And that branches is kanech. And that is reed, erect by resembling a rod, especially for measuring, the shaft to stem and the beam. And that's H7070 for those that are taking those notes. And of course, it's got an ancient Hebrew, and that is a choir nest. It is the Kuf and the Nun. And we know that the one is the horizon, one is the seed. And it means gathering for the seeds. The parent bird goes out gathering materials to build the nest where they will raise their seeds. So literally, as we're going through the beaten work, as we're getting worked on and getting our stalks gathered together through the pressure that we're dealing with throughout the week, it's ultimately for the future generations. It's for the branches that branch off. Mm-hmm. We see so many resemblance of this. Let's start making our way. Let's start making our way to Isaiah chapter 11. It's something that we read every single Shabbat. Because this is ultimately a building up to the fact that each and every one of us, we're going through the process of that beaten work so that way our branches can have that success that it needs in their life. Just in the same way, all the way from where we're looking at now in the Torah portion, Maketz, to across Scripture, through and through. The Father's trying to work out integrity in each and every one of us because He's given us that perfect menorah, our Messiah. And it says, "And a rod shall come forth from the stump of Yishai, and a sprout from his roots shall be fruitful. The Spirit of Jehovah shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Jehovah, and shall make him breathe in the fear of Jehovah, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and shall decide with straightness for the meek ones of the earth, and shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth." And we're going to be looking at that example whenever we go to the words of our master. "And slay the wrong with the breath of his lips, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and trustworthiness the girdle of his waist." But we realize in like fashion that the reason that we go up here every Shabbat and we light the menorah in reflection of this account, in reflection of the one that gave light to this world through the beaten work that he had to go through for each and every one of us to even be here, we notice that there's a common theme, because we started off service tonight with Psalms 101, and we also looked at 1 Timothy chapter 1, 12 through 20. And there is a common theme there, is the fact that it's required of us as light, as like menorahs to the world, that we uprightly walk before those in front of us, not swaying to the left or right, not allowing ourselves to be compromised because of emotions. You think Yosef wasn't fighting emotions back whenever he saw his brothers, how long he's been longing to see them? Because he's not, if he's with the olive and the top, he's not in a position of bitterness. That's been dealt with. That's what all them years were for. That's what all the training was for. That's what the Father's doing with us now, so that way we can properly respond to the ones that we want to see in the fold. So that way we don't harbor any bitterness within us. But that trustworthiness that we just spoke about, being girded of his waist, that's imunah. And that's H30. And that's firmness, security, fidelity, stability, steady, truly, truth, verily. And we can see that it's a constant theme of no matter which word we're looking at, they all have that same relation. It's firmness, stability, steadfastness. And you further break it down, imun is established, trusty, trustworthiness, and faithful and true. And its primitive root is amen, The same trustworthy that we saw in the beginning of Psalms 101. But that's to build up, to support, to foster. And you know, and I was reminded that we use terminologies whenever it comes to buildings or massive buildings, that there's testing of structural integrity. And we know that we are the buildings of Elohim. We are the dwelling places, the temples. And He's going to be continually making sure that we're bearing the light within us by testing our structural integrity to see what's inside of our heart, to make sure that we're answering correctly. Because there's a lot of benefits whenever we do answer correctly. But sometimes, whenever we answer correctly, it's not always some soft-served, half-hearted, or trying to be much more than which you should be, answer towards people. We are to be firm. But we have to realize what that firmness is whenever we have the Aleph and the Tav with us. So that way we can answer correctly. Now we have a beautiful example of the Master and how he answered in regards to the beaten work that he had to go through. In John chapter 8, we're starting with verse 12. And if you have a subtitle, it says, I am the light of the world. Therefore, Yeshua spoke to them, saying, again saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall by no means walk in darkness, but possess the light of life. The Pharisees, therefore, said to him, you bear witness about yourself. Your witness is not true. I don't know if y'all ever experience anything like that throughout the week, but the reality is, when we come here and we learn what we learn, we walk through what we walk through, we go through the feast days just like it is on the menorah. That we have Passover, unleavened bread, the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot being in the middle of the stem, that strong, this is representing the spirit. And we have Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. We have all those representations to be a light and to walk in the firmness and the structure of what the Father has presented for us so that we can walk in truth and we bear witness of Him when we do these things. And we're not bearing witness of ourselves. It's not a matter of us proclaiming anything to anyone about we're trustworthy just because. And that ultimately, because of the pressure of what the brothers are experiencing, that was their response. Oh, we're trustworthy. We're trustworthy. No, there was no Aleph and Tav right there. But the reality is, in the same way that Yeshua was getting pressed, and they pressed on the wrong one, because he has all the answers, because he is the truth. But the reality is, we're going to have those moments. We're going to get pressed. We're going to get accused that we're just bearing witness of ourselves. You know, self-fulfilled works. Yeah. It says, your witness is not true. But Yeshua answered and said to them, even if I witness concerning myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know from where I come or where I go. And that's just what it is. And we're going to keep going through in this because it's a beautiful representation of what it means to be trustworthy, what it means to actually walk through it. Because that true is the same true that we were given, I believe, Midrash and service. It's Atilis, and that's G227. Mm-hmm. It's true, true, truly, truth. And Atheir is true, loving, true, speaking the truth, truthful, and firmly. This is what Yeshua is about. It's very unique to see our Master and how He operates. You know, because as I'm being reminded of it, one thing that I was, very guilty of at one point, as a brother told me one time, was it's not always about that Care Bear stare. whenever it comes to love. You know, especially whenever you're feeling real uplifted, you're feeling real good, and you just walking around at everybody, no matter what they're doing, no matter what they're saying, no matter what they got coming your way, and you're like this. It's okay, I love you. It's okay. Well, yeah, love, but love comes in different forms, in the sense of firmness. Because there's going to be times where we're going to be tested in our integrity by what we stand for, to make sure that we're able to withstand it, but also in a way that we're willing to answer peacefully. Because all in all, the Messiah has a very unique way of bringing, through pressure, out of what's in somebody. Because that's another thing that we're looking at. Through pressure. I'm not going to lie, there's been times I've sat here in services, and I know it's the set apart spirit. That things get said, I'm sitting there like, man, how do you know that? Who told you? And I remember, especially when I was early on, I was like, oh, everybody must be telling him everything that be going on. He know everything, like the government. And I wanna help lighten the mood. I'll share this funny. I believe. I might have already shared it. Let me not say I haven't shared it, but I'm going to share it again, maybe. I remember, and I don't know if y'all remember this, when we first learning about the kashrut, the food laws, what to eat and what not to eat. We also started learning about a couple of things that they had some studies that I started looking into about vegetarian. And I went 6 months? 6 months of doing really well, started off strong. Eating good stuff, and then I became a junk fooditarian. You know, so the potato chips is a vegetable, so, you know. And so needless to say, on the note of what I just said, one day, me and my wife were in town, passing Chase Bank, and they got a certain little restaurant next to Chase Bank, across from Starbucks over there, you know what I'm talking about, near Tarrytown. You know, gotta love that chicken from Popeyes. And you just had some. And I'll never forget this. It's like, you know, in the cartoons when the hand comes through the car and it just starts petting your nose or something. And I was just like, that's it, I can't do it no more. I know I done told everybody I'm a vegetarian now, but I just can't do it no more. That smells good. I gotta have that chicken from Popeyes. So lo and behold, all right, I'm gonna hurry up and get to the point. So I munched down on Popeyes like there was no tomorrow. I probably look like a crazy person just eating. I remember, and you know, and it's funny. I was actually getting weak, so I needed protein. I needed meat because I wasn't doing it properly. And I'll never forget that. We were doing duck season, and I was standing there helping with the duck, and I was just like barely holding on. Pastor looked at me and said, you know what you need? A hamburger. I was like, Pastor, leave me alone. I'm literally getting the ducks. You know, I got meat right there. I was like, oh. But, so back to what I was getting to the point of about how unique it is whenever you realize when the Spirit's flowing and is going is the next Shabbat. This man starts preaching and he starts talking about, you know, that'd be like somebody committing themselves to something and then all of a sudden just go and eat some chicken for Popeyes. And we had this conversation before, because I asked him. I think it was when we were working out. And I was like, because for years I carried this with me. And I wanted to ask him, so when we were working out, I asked him. And he said, no. Nobody told me nothing. I was just saying, you know, I'm just like, like, dude, this freaks me out. But, and it convicted me. Wait, and the reality is because the Father knows what's going on in our lives, and he has a unique way of convicting us. And ultimately, that's what's taking place in John 8, but that's also what's taking place in the brothers' lives, because they're in a position to where they need conviction. Because the reality is, they fell upon their face out of fear, but I don't think they were feeling that conviction yet. And now I'm realizing throughout the week, I was falling on my face out of fear, and I just didn't have that conviction, that complete reverence that the Father was looking for. But the unique thing is, he has the anointed, appointed ones in our lives for the perfecting of the saints, so that way he can bring conviction. Because he's winning people over through what we're reading right here. And let's get back to the text. Well, we're on verse 15. Let me double check. Yes, verse 15. Yeshua said, "You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, because I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. And in your Torah also, it has been written that the witness of two men is true. I am one who witnesses concerning myself, and the Father who sent me witnesses concerning me." Therefore they said to him, "Where is your Father?" Yeshua answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would have known my Father also." These words Yeshua spoke in the treasury, teaching in the set-apart place, and no one laid hands on him because his hour had not yet come. Therefore Yeshua said to them, "I am going away, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sin. Where I go, you are unable to come." And by the next verse, you begin to kind of start to feel a little sorry for the persecutors. But, you know, because their mind is genuinely stuck in the flesh, in flesh mode. It says, then the Yudim said, "Shall he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you're unable to come." And he said to them, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world." And that's the reality. When we step into the fold and enter into what it is that Messiah has for us, we know better than anybody else we're not of this world. But there is times where we genuinely catch ourselves slipping and tripping because we spent a little too much time focusing on the fleshly matters. And it happens. But thankfully, we have an advocate with the Father. "Therefore I said to you that you shall die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins." And they said to him, "Who are you?" And Yeshua said to them, "Altogether, that which I even say to you, I have much to say and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true. And what I heard from him, these words I speak to the world." And then that's also very relatable for us. There's moments where we want to put correct judgment on a situation because we understand the instructions, we understand the Torah, the Mishpatim, everything, the righteous right rulings, the judgments of the Father, but it doesn't put us in a position to where we get to execute that in a judiciary way. And I think that genuinely may upset people at times. Because as we've been going through this walk and as we've been getting closer to the Father and going through humility and tests and all the things that's been, he's been firmly rooting us deeply into the ground. So that way we can answer correctly. So that way we know that we don't have to put out judgment that is ultimately for the Father. That we can do all these matters in firmness and love. But they did not know that he spoke of them of the Father. So Yeshua said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Adam, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do none at all of myself. But as my Father taught me, these words I speak. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." And that's our golden opportunity to be able to make sure that we're never alone and whenever it comes to the moments of testing. Is that when we just do what pleases him, we're going to be in good standing every single time. As he was speaking these words, many believed in him. So Yeshua said to those Yehudim who believed him, "If you stay, if you minnow in my word, you are truly my taught ones, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are the seed of Abraham, and we have been servants to no one at any time." And when I read that, there's a lot of things that I don't have notes for, and I'm thankful that the Father's reminding me. But when I read that, "We are the seed of Abraham, and we have been servants to no one at any time," red flag. We're all servants. We're all servants of something. And whenever the spirit of entitlement pops up its head, it's so noticeable, because it's not a serving spirit. It's a self-serving. Because there's always going to be something that we're a servant to. And I took a moment, I really thought about that, and I asked the Father, forgive me. Forgive me if I've ever in any kind of way have been entitled or self-serving or acted as if in any way, shape, or form, it could be at work, anywhere. If I acted anything more, trying to be anything more than a servant, please forgive me, because that's all I'm here to do. That's all I'm here to do, and that's what we're all here to do. Because each and every one of us want to hear, well done, good and trustworthy servant. That's the goal. But they said, we are the seed of Abraham, and we have been servants to no one at any time. How do you say you shall become free? Yeshua answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone doing sin is a servant of sin. And the servant does not stay in the house forever. A son stays forever. If then the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are the seed of Abraham, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I've seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. And whenever we were talking about firmness and staying strong rooted, I'm sure we're very familiar about how firm Yeshua is about to get and real. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Yeshua said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And we know what the works of Abraham are. It was plainly stated in Genesis 26, 1 through 5. I'm gonna read it so that way we can hear it. But it's, and there was a scarcity of food in the land, besides the scarcity of food which was in the days of Abraham. And Yitzhak went to Abimelech, sovereign of the Philistines in Gerar, and Jehovah appeared to him and said, do not go down to Mishraim. Live in the land which I command you. Sojourn in this land, and I shall be with you and bless you. For I give all these lands to you and your seed, and I shall establish the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I shall increase your seed like the stars of the heavens, and I shall give these lands to your seed. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and guarded my charge, my commands, my laws, and my Torah. And we're going to resume back in John, but I'm being reminded of something that I didn't put down in my notes. But Brother Chad had brought up an amazing good reminder that the Father led him to last Friday, whenever we went through Leviticus chapter 26. Basically the do's and don'ts, the blessings and the curses. Because it's up to us, the choice is ours. So, there was the first soul of the night. with that being said, when I was flowing and going, I was reminded. I was reminded of someone that's like Yosef. Yosef represents an image that's absolutely near perfection. But there's another example like that. That's Joshua. Because the thing is, he had a minor slip up, all because, and that's the thing that's what we'd be reminded of, is you could be marching along in this life. You just got, you know, you're getting close to the promised land. You're feeling good. And then you just get off of the spiritual high. Because you're like, I just had victory over this. I just had victory over whatever stronghold was keeping me down. Just like the children of Israel, whenever they'd taken over the land. The walls of Jericho came down, and all the other sovereigns had to come down too. And it was all by the direction of the Father. What he said, they did. And why is it that a lot of times that whenever we get comfortable in our victories, we tend to then forget to seek the mouth of Jehovah? Because that's what ended up happening to them whenever they experienced the Gibeonite deception. But they had a certain group that heard that was marching along, coming along, and they're like, we're not messing with them. We know who they are and what they're about. So they dressed themselves up, made themselves look pitiful, had some old bread, and was able to deceive them. And it says quite literally in Joshua chapter 9 that because they did not seek the mouth of Jehovah, they were deceived and entered into covenant with a group of people that was originally commanded to be wiped out. But because of that, the Father allowed them to stay. Now they had to do the laborious work. But the reality of the situation is, I was looking for the Aleph and Tav in chapter 8 and 9. Because in chapter 8, it's a rereading of the blessings and cursings on Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And then it goes into the Gibeonite deception. So the realistic thing is that we could be marching along and doing well, but the minute that we forget to have the Aleph Tav with us, guiding us and leading us, we can be easily deceived. So even, not even in the pressing moments, but the unpressing moments is the point that the Father wants me to get to. We have pressing moments, we should definitely seek Him. If anything, it's going to make Him want to seek Him more. But in the not so pressing moments, we need to make sure that we're continually seeking Him, because we'll be easily deceived. And all He wants us to do is do as Abraham, obeyed His voice, guard His commands. But let's get back to the words of our Master, John 8:40. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has spoken to you the truth, which I heard from Elohim. Abraham did not do this. You do the works of your father. Then they said to him, We were not born of whoring. We have one father, Elohim. Yeshua said to them, if Elohim were your father, you would love me. For I came forth from Elohim and am here. For I have not come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not know what I say? Because you are unable to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you wish to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks the lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And we know that Genesis 42, verse 11, that it's another lie that spewed forth, and it was not of the Father. And because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Who of you proves me wrong concerning sin? And if I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of Elohim hears the words of Elohim. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of Elohim. And it's a simple reflection of the fact that the brothers, they didn't recognize Yosef, but Yosef recognized them. And it's so easy for us to get so sideways with one another for whatever reason whenever we're not being of Elohim. When we're not making sure that we're actually praying for eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to want to actually know Him more. Because there's been so many times where I could have personally just decided to leave because my feelings got hurt. If you're here for your feelings, then you're definitely going to get them hurt, because the truth is here. And we need our feelings hurt. We need, just like the menorah was beaten work. Sometimes we spiritually need the snot beat out of us. Because there is some sense of entitlement or some sense of something that is making the gold that the Father wants us to be still impure in some way, shape, or form. But that's why He wants us to walk in integrity. That's why He wants us to be firmly rooted. Because whenever we reflect upon the times that we're living in, it's going to take firm roots. It's going to take our ability to be strong on a surface when the testing comes. Because in a world that's getting full of deception and false speakers, we know a lot of times when dealing with the false prophets, the judgment was whirlwind. We don't want to ever get caught up in the whirlwind of this world. Verse 48. The Hudim answered and said to him, "Do we not say well that you are a Sharoni and have a demon?" Yeshua answered, "I do not have a demon, but I value my Father, and you do not value me. And I do not seek my own esteem. There is one who is seeking and is judging. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone guards my word, he shall never see death at all." The Yehudim said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets. And you say, if anyone guards my word, he shall never taste death at all. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died and the prophets died? Whom do you make yourself?" Yeshua answered, "If I esteem myself, my esteem is none at all. It is my Father who esteems me, of whom you say that he is your Elohim. And you do not know him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be like you, a liar. But I do know him, and I guard his word. Your father Abraham was glad that he should see my day, and he saw it and did rejoice." The Yehudim therefore said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Yeshua said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham came to be," and he knew this would set them off like pouring gasoline on a fire of ants, enlightenment. "Before Abraham came to be, I am." Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Yeshua was hidden and went out of the set-apart place, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. But the beautiful thing of that is, in the blueprints of the foundations of the world, and before everything was established, he already had it all planned out. Yeshua was in those blueprints. And he considered each and every one of us. And he's seen each and every one of us in that plan. To be a part of it and to be awake to it is a blessing. You know, and I know this is a very simple message, very thankful for it, because of the fact that when we're tested and we're tried to see if we have integrity, because integrity, yes, it is trustworthiness, but it's much more, are you reliable? Are you dependable? When people see you and know you outside of here, because sometimes we can put on a show, or I'll speak for myself, there's been times where I put on some kind of show. The reality is the Father's looking for us to be trustworthy. He's looking for us to be able to reach those, to be a light to the world that's in the darkness, to be menorahs, to be the beaten work, to be the pure gold, to not hold bitterness towards anybody. You know, something that I said Wednesday night when I was inspired to say so is the real way you know that you're truly over bitterness is whenever the person walks through the door and you don't feel any of that awfulness still within you. And the reality is there's people in our lives that we have that. We so badly want to get out of position to where we don't feel it anymore, but for some reason it's still there. But the beautiful thing is, just like he's dealing with the brothers in their situation, he's doing the same thing with us if we continue to stay strong and steadfast. But if not, we know the result if not. Then we become stuck. Just like the enemy wants to trap someone in a snare, you speak to someone that's been holding on to bitterness towards you for a long time, they speak as it just happened. It sounds like it just literally happened. And it could have been years ago. Months ago. And I know that's a weighty thing to say, so I'll end that with this, a little funny. Because I get to speak to my sister a lot, now especially that she's wanting to develop a relationship with the Father. And she said, "I just really struggle with letting go of things. I was like, you're not going to believe this, but I think everybody does. I think everybody does. I said, you're not alone. But I said, for a reason I do not know why, but maybe because we grew up together and we were kids and didn't get along, and me and her were constantly at each other. But we loved Lion King. Lion King was the favorite. It was the favorite. It's, you know, I'm not going to lie, it still is. But my favorite part of the movie is Rafiki. And he's teaching Simba a lesson out in that field. And they were talking about the past. Well, I don't have a staff to grab, but I wasn't going to hit nobody. But he walked over to him, and boom, right on my head. And he's like, oh, what was that for? It's like, why are you mad? That happened in the past. And if that's one thing we can hold on to, and really like see the beauty of how the Father lays everything out for us, it's like, instead of speaking about something that happened so long ago, like if it's happening right now, he wants us to get to the point of it can happen literally right in front of your face, and then instantly. It happened in the past. We'll move past it. But that's only something that the Ruach can do. But with that being said, that's what I had for tonight that the Father and I worked throughout this week. And I just want to let y'all know that I love y'all and I appreciate y'all. And I'm thankful for each and every one of y'all. I'm so thankful for the word that's been going forth. With that being said too, Shabbat Shalom.